We have a guest talking about some relief coming from the federal government to the region. That is Dolph Demont from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Dolph, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.
So your work has been activated by the disaster declaration of the president, is that right?
That's right. It was declared officially 3 days ago, September 15th, and we're busy at work getting all the resources in place to respond and recover from this horrible fire situation.
Give us an idea what kinds of relief people can expect to get from FEMA and whether they can expect to get it directly or through other agencies and services.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that we are mourning the loss of the lives and the widespread damage to property and the severe impacts to the environment caused by these wildfires. It's just horrific. And we're committed to doing everything we can to assist in the response to recovery and help all those survivors. So that's why it's extremely important that the people register with FEMA. That begins the process, and that's our biggest push right now. And registration is open for those affected by the wildfires in those eight counties, Clackamas, Douglas, Jackson, Klamath, Lane, Lincoln, Lynn, and Marion counties. And we want to reach everybody that was impacted in those eight counties. The way to get registered, it's very important that this is the first step. It's a vital first step to get registered because once they're in our system, then we could determine how best to meet their needs, because our assistance program is very much tailored to each individual and family. So here's the three ways you can register.
Okay.
The first is online, visiting disasterassistance.gov, disasterassistance.gov. The second is by using the FEMA app that you can load on your phones or on your iPads. Mm-hmm. The third is to call 1-800-621-3362. 1-800-621-FEMA is the third way. So we've understood that so far, a few minutes ago, I got an update that we have 2,175 registrations, and that 80% of those were coming in on the website or the phone or the app. So 20% are calling a number. So that might be the easiest way for people that are displaced at this point.
All right, let me give the number again. It's 800-621-3362.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then it's disasterassistance.gov if you want to apply online. You can also get the downloadable app. Is that, that's, I assume, for both Apple and Android?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, Dolph Demont, what sorts of relief are people seeking when they register with FEMA?
They're looking for grants, money to help for temporary housing, home repairs, or low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses and things like that. The process begins with the registration, and then there'll be an inspection, even though we're doing virtual inspections, remote inspections right now. So once you register, you'll get a call from an inspector who will go over the damages that were sustained and determine the extent, and then they'll receive a check from FEMA to help them in the recovery process.
Mm-hmm. So this check is in addition to any insurance payments they have coming or in lieu of those?
It will fill the gap of anything that was underinsured, mm-hmm. Or weren't paid by the insurance company. And for those without insurance, then that may be their only source of funding to try to get back on the road to recovery. There's also, I understand, we have our critical needs assessment. It's not approved. If that headquarters been for approval, well, that will be an automatic $500 check sent to all the households that register, just sort of as a Band-Aid to get food and shelter, water, or something. But right now, most of the people I have that need help can also contact Red Cross if you need sheltering. It's important that they find a way to get to either a congregate shelters that have been stood up, or what we call non-congregate shelters, which are hotels. And Red Cross actually funds those hotels for anybody that needs it, needs some sheltering, and provides food and water and showers, etc.
Dolph, if you can hang on for a second, I'd like to come back and talk to you just a little bit more after the break. Okay. and catch up on stuff. So we'll take a break here. Dolph Demont joins us from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, talking about how people access the help that FEMA is prepared to give in the federal disaster declaration for the Oregon fires. We're back on the Jefferson Exchange with Dolph Demont, and you're welcome to join us to talk about relief efforts that you're aware of, trying to start or taking part in. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Dolph Demont with FEMA is still here with us. So you were talking about applying online, getting potentially a $500 Band-Aid check and then a larger grant perhaps later on. Is there going to be, and of course now we got COVID in the middle of all this, so is there going to be, Dolph, a physical FEMA presence, an office in the region?
We've got 80 disaster survivor assistance team members deploying now, and you'll see FEMA shirts on the ground. We have a sort of a strategy of going to the shelters first and then hotels and helping people to get registered, and we'll have a roving mobile unit with FEMA on the side that will assist people that need help. We're going to have a presence, and this is the first time during the COVID environment that we've done this, but because of the nature of this disaster, we feel that will be more effective, and we really, really want to reach everybody that we can. We know how hard this is on people, and we want to provide all the assistance we can. So I really think the most important thing, if you can help me get this message out, that it's extremely important that people register with FEMA. That starts the entire process. There's a lot more involved. The Small Business Administration's going to be on board for business loans. The maximum grant is $35,500 for a destroyed home, plus the contents also another $35,500, and that's the amount. But people can also be eligible for up to 18 months of rental assistance on top of that. So that could be substantially help people get through those early phases, but you know, it's not going to make them whole for sure. But that's what we can offer by law in terms of finances, but none of that starts until people register.
Okay, let me get that again. So it's disasterassistance.gov to register online. There is a FEMA app to download. You can register through that, or you can call 800-621-3362. Dolph, I know with the loss of housing stock, I mean, this was a market where the vacancy rate was about 1% in the Rogue Valley in the Alameda Fire Zone. And so with, you know, 2,400 homes, probably more, lost to the fires, a lot of affordable housing lost with all the mobile home parks that got destroyed. I know people have been talking about FEMA trailers, I think, when the fires were still burning. Is there a possibility of FEMA bringing structures like that in on a temporary basis?
Yes. Yes, there is a possibility. We have to do a full assessment of available resources in the area before you do the housing mission, because it's very complex. You have to develop the infrastructure, and it takes a long, long time. So I think they look for rental houses that we could put people in, or places we could lease, or condominiums, things like that. If there are no resources, then we start looking at building out those are like mobile home parks in the areas where they're needed, and because people don't want to leave their communities. So, yeah, that's definitely on the table. It's one of the options. It's normally the last option because it takes so long to build out, but and also it's difficult at the end when you could stay in there for 18 months and then we that's the end of the, that's all by law, that's as much as we can provide, and then we take them all out again. So it's an awkward program in a lot of ways, but if it it does in rural areas where there's no other options, that's what we'll have to do.
Okay. All right. So understood. So that's you'd rather get people into permanent or at least semi-permanent housing and not have to go with an interim step if at all possible.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, for the people who are wondering, well, I didn't have much damage. Am I FEMA eligible? What's the answer to that question?
Please register with FEMA and let us determine that. There can even be smoke damage. You know, don't eliminate yourself from possibility of getting FEMA aid. Just register. If you're in those counties, just take the time to register and let us work through the process with you. We'll have caseworkers that will go through and help you through the process.
Okay. So loud and clear, get registered, and Dolph DeMont is delivering the message. We're going to see a lot more of FEMA in the region. Oh, one more thing I need to ask before you go, though, is we did have somebody from the FBI on an hour ago. We were talking about scams. How do we know when FEMA people are, in fact, FEMA people?
That's an excellent question, and it happens. There are people waiting for disasters like this to take advantage of others, and it's horrible. But you will note that we have a FEMA badge that's required to be shown and worn. Everybody that's out in the field working with FEMA has an official FEMA badge that has a picture on ID, and it's not something that could be faked. So it looks like an official badge, and it is an official badge. And don't. My advice is, if they don't show the badge, don't have any interaction with them. I've had briefings of the terrible things that happen out in scams that occur after every disaster. Makes you sick, but you'll see FEMA shirts, FEMA badges, and there will be some people without FEMA shirts that still have to have that official badge. So, very good point. Thanks for asking that.
Sure. We were glad to have Beth Ann Steele from the Portland office of the FBI on setting us up on what to look for and to do our own due diligence. But the FEMA folks are the ones who are going to be out in the field pretty soon in the Rogue Valley and elsewhere in the region, because obviously lots of fires across the state of Oregon, several fires in the federal disaster declaration of the president. And Dolph DeMont will be involved in that effort. He is with FEMA, and he's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Dolph, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Let me give the contact information again, and we'll put this up on the website at jeffexchange.org. Disasterassistance.gov is the first option for signing up. Disasterassistance.gov will give you a chance to register with FEMA. You can also download the FEMA app for your smartphone and register through that, or just use the phone, any phone, to call at 800-621-3362, 800-621-3362, and that will get you set up with FEMA, get you registered, and get you off to the races there. This hour of the Exchange is meant to talk about relief efforts coming to the region and a whole bunch of local grassroots kinds of efforts like the Oregon Bankers Association, Oregon Food Banks doing a lot of work here. DMV has chimed in to let people know how to replace their driver's license registration and proof of ownership. Lots of GoFundMe contacts. What do you have going on? Join us on the Exchange to talk about a program you are taking part in, a program you want people to take part in, or something you'd like to see that doesn't exist yet. 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. And let me talk to, we have two people now from the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. And those would be Jeff McMorris, the Regional Administrator, and Oregon Director Tony Ramirez. I believe both join us on phone lines now. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And welcome, Tony.
Thank you as well.
Okay, so we just got the rundown from the FEMA folks about what is going to happen here with registration and cash assistance. What kinds of assistance is HUD in a position to offer?
HUD is, our focus is more on the long-term recovery. Mm-hmm. So it is correct. People right now need to first contact FEMA. It sounds like you've already given out the numbers, a way to contact them. People need to get registered for that immediate federal assistance through FEMA. With the long-term recovery, we don't give the individual assistance. We work with local organizations, the local governments, to fund funding through them. They'll help gather the data that will inform Congress of the financial need when it comes to rebuilding the infrastructure as well as homes and businesses that have been lost. For homeowners that have FHA-backed mortgages, which is a HUD product, I'll encourage people to contact FHA, and that phone number is 800-CALL-FHA. And depending on your specific mortgage, there'll be different options that can be provided for people with damaged or destroyed homes because of this fire. If you want to contact HUD and you have a specific fire-related damage, call Vanessa in our Portland HUD office. Her direct number is 971-222-2603. And then for assistance with non-related fire damage, you know, as far as homes go, if it's food, transportation, other general questions, Julian in our office can be reached at 971-222-2600. And Julian's going to be referring you to the appropriate local organization that can help. So if you have that local organization number already, or you can use, you know, your local 211, that's another option. But Vanessa and Julian are in the Portland office. If for some reason it goes to voicemail, because we are getting a lot of calls, please leave your name and your phone number or an email. If we'll have people call you back, so please don't hang up. Leave your contact information. And so for that immediate need, you know, it's the Red Cross, it's FEMA, but we're here for the long term. We'll be here helping people whose homes have been lost. You know, our hearts go out to everyone who's been impacted by this disaster. People have lost homes, businesses. Worst of all is the loss of life. And, you know, and we're paid for by your tax dollars, and it's our job to be here and to help in these times.
So let me come back to the contacts again. If you're interested in FHA mortgages, that's 800-CALL-FHA, which comes out to 800-225-5342, 800-225-5342. And I will post all these at jeffexchange.org. To talk about fire damage, Vanessa in the Portland office is reachable at 971-222-2603, 971-222-2603, or Julian in the Portland office for other assistance. Is this non-fire damage we're talking about?
Non-fire damage to your home or residence. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be for food, for transportation, for other issues.
Okay, and that's 971-222-2600, 971-222-2600. For immediate needs, we've heard now from both HUD and FEMA, Red Cross is a good place to go as well. So I imagine, gentlemen, that Oregon presents, some of these markets in Oregon present some particular problems because, as you're aware, Jeff and Tony, I'm sure from working in the Portland area, that housing is tight, and having lost this much housing stock all at once creates some real challenges.
That is going to create some, this is Tony, that is going to create some challenges. We've been doing an assessment of the impacts to the HUD resources, HUD's assisted housing in the impacted fire areas of the state. For Southern Oregon, primarily the impacts we're seeing right now are to the Housing Choice Voucher holders. Those are primarily mom-and-pop type rentals or single-family dwellings themselves. And to a larger extent, it's the FHA-insured mortgage properties that we're seeing have been impacted the greatest. So, again, those are housing that, you know, hopefully would be a little bit quicker to, if they are indeed have been destroyed, to get back up and rebuilt, whereas the multifamily properties are a little bit more involved in getting those housing units replaced. So, in that respect, I think we are somewhat lucky, not to say that somebody lost their home is lucky, but as far as the HUD resources or assets that are out there right now, the quicker path would be to assist those individuals and families get their units back online. You know, if they're sustained some sort of damage, there are programs available to help them refinance and get their homes back to where they would like them to be. So,
okay, so HUD
we
on
do
this...
realize there is a housing shortage, and you know that's been going on way before the fire started, and you know, that's an issue that we are trying to address with the state and our other partners.
All right, a lot of work ahead, and a bunch of federal agencies now in the process as well because of the disaster declaration. We're talking to the folks at Housing and Urban Development, and we've already talked to the folks at FEMA. So I want to thank Jeff McMorris, the Regional Administrator, Oregon Director Tony Ramirez. I appreciate you calling into the Jefferson Exchange today to let us know what's up with HUD. We'll get your stuff posted online.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you.
Okay. Let me take a call in a different direction right now about an active fire and one that has been particularly active over recent days. And this is our first call in from the Slater Fire, which has burned through part of Happy Camp and up into Oregon and within about 3 miles of the Oregon Caves National Monument. Angie Hurley is the Slater Fire Public Information Officer. Angie, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having us. We're always happy to get the information out as we can.
Okay, good. This is a Slater and Devil's Fire, I should point out. And has there been an ability to even staff the Devil's Fire yet?
It's been a challenge, but the teams are working. And so as of 6 o'clock this morning, the fire is under unified command with Doug Turman's Northern Rockies Incident Management Team 2 and Scott Majors, the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Blue Team. So they're under unified command for the northern part of the fire, and then California Team 10 is still continuing in managing the south zones of the fire. And we say that the fires, they're the north part of the fire, so it's the north part of the Slater and the Devil Fire, and then the south part of the Slater and the Devil's Fire, just how the topography works to manage those is how it made sense to do that. So currently they're at, it's 143,092 acres, we're looking at 10% containment. We have, as far as for fire activity, the operations, they are continuing to implement the direct and indirect fire strategies on the Slater, so working in and close to the line and putting in dozer lines for containment when needed. They were working to complete the dozer line from Monkey Ridge down to Highway 199. Then on the northern side of the fire near Shepherd Hills, the crews were able to tie in a small spot fire back to the Forest Road 4803. So they're always looking at ways that they can use the fire to work with itself to keep it contained, and they were successful in that. So the priorities for the firefighters on the south zone today are looking at the properties in Thompson Creek to make sure that those are protected. Then we have the Oregon State Fire Marshal has 10 structural task forces assigned to the Slater Fire, and their primary mission is to protect the citizens, their property, and the environment from fire. They're working in conjunction with the wildland crews, a great boost to have more resources on the ground.
Have any homes been destroyed on the Oregon side at this point?
You know, not that I'm aware of that I can speak to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the number of homes, Happy Camp seems to be a place where there was, we heard the number of 150 or so
right.
homes destroyed there.
150, correct.
Okay. And that is the rough number that we're still working with, 150?
Yep, that's the rough number, absolutely. That's the best information we have at this point, yes.
Angie, if you can hang on, I got a couple more questions that I need to bring in after a break. Is that all right?
Sure.
You got the time? Okay, so we'll take a short break here on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll talk more with Angie Hurley with information on the Slater and Devil's Fire. This is the big active one that has burned across the state line and closed down Highway 199 from the Illinois Valley out to the coast. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange. We do want to hear from people about relief efforts. This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're back in a minute 15. And we have at the moment Angie Hurley, a public information officer, calling in from the Slater and Devil's Fire, burning on both sides of the state line in Siskiyou, Del Norte, and Josephine counties. Angie, I wanted to ask about the status of evacuations. I understand people had been let back into Happy Camp in places where it was safe to do so. In other words, no downed power lines, things like that. How about Gaski or any of the other communities evacuated on the Oregon side?
Right. So we're currently working with the sheriff's departments, and they handle all of the evacuation orders.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's up to them, you're saying.
Right.
All right. So how tricky a business is this to handle a fire that drapes across a couple different watersheds, across two state lines and three counties?
Yeah, absolutely. It's extremely complex, and you nailed it. It is extremely complex, and that is why the information is so important. And now with the unified command, looking at all the resources and, you know, the amount of meetings and communication daily, and the situations change from minute to minute. And so they're in a position that they take that information and they react to the current situation. So we look at, you know, today's precipitation was minimal, but they're looking at winds changing. So they're giving a heads up to the crews, you know, to be mindful. You might be working in this area and that can change. And so it is just constant pushing the current information available to manage it effectively.
As I look at the map of the Slater fire, it's weird because in some cases it actually has not crossed the state line, and yet in others it has sent some long fingers northward, well into the Illinois Valley. So,
and that just works with the topography of the land. And on the west side of the Slater, it's burning into where there was an old burn, mm-hmm. and so the fire would not travel as quickly into place where it has more recently burned. So you have the different fuel types and the topography and then the wind coming into that. It's all part of that fire behavior, unpredictable.
It looks like the Illinois River, at least the East Fork, hasn't given you much assistance because the fire has jumped that river.
And I don't have a map in front of me. I apologize.
Okay, that's all right. I have the advantage here. But, yeah, I'm looking at a couple of places where there might have been some natural fire breaks that doesn't appear to have happened. But I'm going to come back to the question I think I've already asked, though. But we have the number from Happy Camp, and we don't know of any structures destroyed on the Oregon side, you had said?
Correct.
Okay. That is something. Any prospects at this point in conjunction with not just the firefighters, but with the public safety agencies about when Highway 199 might be able to reopen and when people can come back in the area south of O'Brien under level 3 evacuation?
Right. And that is one of the highest priorities, and the big concern is safety. So now the fire's gone through there and the crews are working to remove the snags, the logs, you know, the trees that have burned, that haven't fallen. And we want to make sure that it's totally safe before traffic is allowed through there. And when their firefighting efforts are alongside the highway, that's also a huge risk if there are, rigs and people. So we just have to wait until it's completely safe. But they're assessing that, again, on the hourly basis. And that is one of the highest priorities because we understand the hardship that is creating.
Angie, is the Fox Fire part of the domain of Slater and Devil's Fire?
No.
No, okay. Different fire rating apparatus there. Okay. Okay. We had heard some people would be diverted from Slater over to Fox, which
Correct.
Is a fairly new.
We're sharing some resources, but it's not not part of our incident.
Okay. That did require some evacuations in the Callahan area. Okay. Angie Hurley, anything else that people need to know about the Slater and Devil's Fire progress at this point?
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share the information.
Okay. Definitely good to have it. Okay. Thank you. This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. We got about 10 minutes left to talk about different relief efforts around the region. What do you know about? What are you taking part in? What do you need to see and hear? Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We got an email the other day about GoFundMe. I've seen an uptick in fundraisers started for victims of the Almeda Fire in the Medford, Phoenix, and Central Point areas. Should include talent in that, too. Wanted to share six of those fundraisers with you that have received a tremendous amount of support, including one for the Southern Oregon Veterinary Specialties Center, another for the senior residents of the Bear Lake Estates who are now left homeless, and one on behalf of Jenny Sandoval's second-grade students at Phoenix Elementary. So these are all GoFundMe campaigns. And there is one for Amy's Kitchen, Medford employees, raising funds. One for the Southern Oregon Veterinary Specialty Center, which I understand from other news coverage has been instrumental in helping some of the pets who got caught in the fire. It's been a fairly constant drumbeat on Facebook of pictures of singed cats, and it's not a pretty sight, but they are getting some help they need from the Southern Oregon Veterinary Specialty Center. There's another one on GoFundMe, relief for seniors left homeless after Almeida fire. That's specifically for the folks at Bear Lake Estates. Southern Oregon Golf Course employees have gotten together. Southern Oregon Golf Course employee fire relief. The one we mentioned about Jenny Sandoval's second grade students at Phoenix Elementary School. That one's called Many of My Students Left Without a Home on GoFundMe. La Tapatia Restaurant, highly regarded as one of the best taquerias in the Rogue Valley, burned to the ground in the Almeida fire in the heart of Phoenix. And there is a La Tapatia GoFundMe as well going on. Let's see. The folks at the Oregon DMV let us know about how to update your driver's license registration and proof of ownership. You can get left without essential documents if those got burned up in the fire. You can take care of most of those needs, DMV points out, by going to dmv2uoregon.gov, dmv2uoregon.gov, and that would be the place to start your paperwork going on, dmv2u. Sorry, trying to type and talk at the same time. Okay, so that's a place you can go to update your mailing address, replace a license or ID card, get proof of vehicle ownership, report the loss of a vehicle, or order a replacement title. All those can be done online at dmv2u.oregon.gov. I don't know if we've mentioned in the course of the crush of information for the last couple of weeks the Bear Creek Greenway closure because some of the Greenway infrastructure was damaged, including some of the bridges that carry the Greenway across Bear Creek, one not very far from my house that had its guardrails burned off. It looks like the roadbed itself is intact, but it's a timber structure, so who knows what's going on there. I was surprised to hear the train go past last night because the pictures, the aerial photos from the Almeida fire show railroad ties burning, smoldering in the hours after the initial onslaught of the Almeida fire, but I guess it wasn't actually the ties burning because the train came through last night on its way south. They usually go down to Harnbrook and exchange freight trains with the crew coming north out of Black Butte, which is in Weed. Anyway, I can get lost in railroad stuff here. Talk about the recovery efforts in the few minutes we have left here on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760. It may be a little out of date now, but the City of Ashland has set up a resource and referral line at 541-552-2500, staffed 8 to 8 daily during the crisis. 541-552-2500. Let me put that on my list as well. Okay, so 541-552-2500 for, and you can also email ashland.or.us. Grange Co-op is offering fire relief aid, currently working to provide relief at the Jackson County Expo, Southern Oregon Emergency Aid, the Yuba Habitat for Humanity, Klamath County Fairgrounds. Okay, so you can also round up transactions at the checkout to make sure that money goes to fire relief efforts. Any one of a number of stores are doing this right now to make sure that people do get they get stuff. They get additional money to go to the relief efforts by people rounding up. If you're checking out for $2.67, round up to $3, and some of that money goes to where you need to go. Just getting some information from John Baxter, our senior producer, about updated evacuation notices on the Bratton Fire, which is burning far east over in Lake County, has required the evacuation of the town of Paisley with about 240 or so residents and is working generally south toward Lakeview, the largest town in Lake County. It looks like not much has changed as I glance at those evacuation notices right now. Some other stuff on the pile, and I've been shepherding this through the week. I had basically a disaster pile under one hand and a relief pile under the other hand, and we got a lot of the disaster stuff talked about and not so much of the relief pile. The Three Rivers School District had talked about providing free meals to families in the Illinois Valley region Mondays and Wednesdays. This began this week, so Mondays and Wednesdays at Jubilee Park in Cave Junction at 9:45 in the morning. Food deliveries made to any families with children ages 1 to 18 years old. You don't have to be enrolled in the Three Rivers School District to receive meals, and children don't have to be present for pickup. So meals for the Illinois Valley community Mondays and Wednesdays at 9:45 at Jubilee Park in Cave Junction. The United Ways have been very active in getting efforts together for relief since the fires burned through. The United Ways of the Pacific Northwest launched the Pacific Northwest Wildfire Relief and Recovery Fund on Monday this week in response to the fires. So this umbrella larger fund for the whole Northwest will work in partnership with the local United Ways in impacted communities across the region. United Way will use all donations to help provide displaced families with access to food, shelter, childcare, health care, and other critical services. The fund will help these families meet their emergent and long-term recovery needs. Funds will be distributed to local United Ways impacted by fires based on a formula to be developed that will include damage, population, and economic racial equity as components. The fund is live now. That is at uwpnw.org. So United Ways of the Pacific Northwest.org, unpnw.org/wildfire. And so that'll get to United Ways. Jackson County announced a grant to United Way of Jackson County up to an additional $1,500,000 for individuals and small business support relief. Let's see. So this is an update to an earlier pledge of support from the county's general fund. The county expects to be reimbursed by CARES Act funding. So here's where COVID and wildfire efforts overlap. But that can also you can apply for assistance through United Way of Jackson County, which is literally unitedwayofjacksoncounty.org. unitedwayofjacksoncounty.org. This one's /COVID-19 fund, COVID-19 fund. That'll go up on our website as well. What else do we have here? Members of the Rogue Valley community encouraging volunteers to sign up for community service. Rogue Valley Community Organizations Active in Disaster, RV code. This is coming through roguevalleyrecovers.org. So that's roguevalley.recovers.org, which we talked about earlier on the program, is sort of a central clearinghouse for people to get together and post both needs and efforts to meet those needs in one place. I haven't checked it out in a couple of days. It's kind of a bulletin board service, but it gives you a chance to put stuff up. It's like a Craigslist for needs, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, but a chance for people to compare efforts and match up needs. Market of Choice in Ashland sent us a release, too, that shoppers can donate up to $249 toward Oregon fire relief efforts at check stand. So this is kind of like the rounding up we were talking about, but goes even bigger than that. No purchase is necessary, and 100% of donations go to wildfire relief funds throughout the state. That was sent to us by the folks at Market of Choice. Jackson County pet disaster relief trailer came in from AKC, deployed to Central Point to the Expo Park to help keep pets safe in the interim. So a whole lot of different efforts going on, and we will provide links to all of this stuff so that you can find it all easily. That'll be on our website. The blurb for this segment for today, let me go back and take a look at that, is called Wrapping Fire Week 2, How to Help. We will post the information on how to help at that blurb at jeffexchange.org. So everything we've talked about in this hour will end up there as well. So that'll do it for this week on the Jefferson Exchange. What a week it's been. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you listening. Really appreciate that you are well, and that most of us made it through the fires, even if our homes didn't, and that a lot of people are lined up to help everybody who needs that help. Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again on Monday.